Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm John Gentry, and it's my privilege to welcome you this morning. If we have any visitors out there, thank you for coming, and a special welcome to you as well. We ask that you please fill out the attendance pads on the end of the pew there, just so we can keep records straight at the district office. We have several announcements this morning, and they're also printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. First of all, today is the annual decorating day here at the Sanctuary and Wilson Activity Center, where we come and adorn the sanctuary with the Christmas decorations and prepare for the Advent season. That is at noon today. If you'd like to join us, all hands on deck would be appreciated. The family-to-family boxes are due today. There are still there's still some time to get one or two filled and turned into the office, though. Boxes are in the back of the Wilson Activity Center, along with the instructional envelopes. Also, on December 4th at noon, the Central High Band, Jazz Band, will be playing their annual concert here at Asbury. Come listen to some great music. It's as Terrific Tuesday hosts their wonderful group. The Advent Family Life Dinner will be on Sunday, December the 2nd, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Asbury will provide the meat, so we ask everyone attending to bring a side dish or dessert. Santa will be and making his appearance. So, have some good music and have a good time. Once again, this Sunday we have a rosebud on the altar to celebrate a birth. A baby girl, 7 pounds, 12 ounces, was born in the wee morning hours on Wednesday to Daniel and Lydia Achupong. Her name is Audrey, and doing well. Also, we have to just check things on the back of the bulletin, if you will, to see all the other ongoing events here and announcements. So at this time, I invite you to greet each one and pass the peace of Christ. Thank you. join with me the call to worship. You can follow along in your bulletin. Come to worship Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and is to come.
We come to worship the one who rules justly.
Come to worship Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, God with us.
We come to worship Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. To him the glory and dominion forever and ever.
Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, Rejoice the Lord is King, on page 715. The Nicene Creed, our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped or glorified, who has spoken through our prophets. We believe in one Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. so glad I've got two kids up here. This is wonderful. This is great. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about something that happened a long time ago and something that happened not so long ago. We have two parts of the Bible. You know, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Which comes first? Do you know?
Old Testament.
That's right, the Old Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, there were people that God told to tell the Hebrew people that there was a Savior coming sometime in the future. And they were waiting, and they were waiting for somebody to come and help them. Well, it's kind of like when you're waiting at Christmas time, and you see something like this under the Christmas tree, then you look at it, and you look at it, and you say, I just can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait to open this present. Well, that's kind of the way the Hebrews felt about waiting and waiting. Finally, Christmas came, and who was born?
Jesus.
Right. He's been to Sunday school, hasn't he? Good. Okay, and when Jesus was born, the people were excited. And when he grew up, he did some wonderful things. He taught us some wonderful things, like putting other people ahead of what? Yourself.
Yourself.
Right, right. And always thinking of others first. So, we need to thank the Lord for giving us such a wonderful person in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me now? Dear God, thank you for your wonderful son, Jesus, who was worth the waiting for. And for that, and for what Jesus teaches us to be. Very good. Amen. Okay. Now, in this gift, you take it with you, and I see you have is this your little sister? So you want to probably do what Jesus would do, and that is give her the first pick out of the box, right? Okay, here you are. Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming up.
Wonderful love.
God in prayer this morning. We want to be sure and keep those folks printed in our bulletin, in our thoughts and our prayers. Charlie Ward Sr., Mary Jane Patton, Marilyn Thompson, Anita Curtis, Janet Brandt, Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, and Hugh Roberts. Let us go to God in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are gathered today in your presence to show our love and adoration for you, our great Creator. Your love for us began even before the creation of the world, and we are the only part of that creation made in your image. Your love knows no bounds, and this morning we praise you with our whole hearts. Families and friends are gathered this past week and shared food, fun, and expressed thanks for the many blessings they have received this year. Help us not only look back, but to also look forward to the blessings of the Advent season as we move closer to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessings you have stored up in heaven for your children and are ready to pour them out on us. Let us praise for your good things and to look for your presence even in the trying of times. Father, we lift up the homeless to you this morning. Help us to be more aware of those less fortunate than ourselves and to lend a helping hand to bless others and share the love as you have loved us. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Father God, in the spirit of thanksgiving, we give thanks to you, our great provider. You tell us in your word you will provide all our needs in Christ Jesus. Help us to remember your promise as we give back a portion of those blessings to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Our hymn of meditation is Majesty Worship His Majesty on page 176.
Won't you please be seated? This morning, it's my privilege, as always, to share with you from God's Word, and today we go to the Psalms. Following God's direction to us as we read and hear together the 43rd Psalm. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from deceitful and unjust men. Deliver me, for thou art the God in whom I take refuge. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise thee with a lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God, the word of God for the people of God. Thinking with you today about the idea of the challenge of waiting as we go into this Advent season beginning next week, we understand that there are 4 weeks of waiting of the coming of the Lord being brought to this world, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We find the idea of waiting sometimes indeed challenging. I remember as I was expecting our first daughter to be born, and you have to understand, babies in delivery are on our minds right now because that daughter is about to birth her second child any day now. And so that morning that I was supposed to go to the clinic and have a test to see how I was doing because I had become ill with carrying this first child, Tony was in the shower, and I couldn't wait. My appointment was 45 minutes away, and I had to go. And so I left. And when he got there, I was not at the clinic. No, indeed, I was at the hospital because when the doctor checked me, he said, "You're going to have a baby today." Tony walked in sheepishly, and I've never let him forget that I couldn't wait on him, nor could the baby, apparently. So one of the hardest things that we have to do from time to time is to wait. What child has not gone through the sheer agony of waiting for Christmas morning to open what they hope to be their greatest desire, their greatest wish under that tree. What mother-to-be and father-to-be haven't waited anxiously on those final days before awaiting the birth of what they hope and dream to be a healthy baby? What teenager doesn't count the hours until they finally turn 16 so they can drive their car alone, unsupervised? These are times that we all remember where there is great waiting. Truth is, we all know what it is like to wait, because life is so unpredictable, we don't know if the events are going to add to the challenge of the waiting, or if they're going to ease up the waiting a bit. One of the things I have found which helps is to find humor in the situation. That's hard to do, but we need to try to look for it somewhere, somehow. I was serving my first full-time appointment out of seminary, and it was an appointment of three rural churches. Our parsonage was located right next door to the larger of the three churches in the rural area that I was serving. And there was a neighbor that had a garden behind the house that was just right catty-corner from our backyard, and his name was Mr. Pat. Now, Mr. Pat was very proud of his garden, but he had planted some purple hull seeds, and he was so happy to see the little seedlings, so tender, shooting up until we had a gusher of rain, and all of those little tender seedlings had just almost washed away. Well, he was out in the backyard kind of talking over the fence, so to speak, with Tony and myself, and he was not happy at all. He was just about this shy of cursing God for all of that rain and all of his hard work that was just meant to nothing. And I looked at Tony and I said, "Mr. Pat is perfectly put out about his pea patch." Now, it took a while for Mr. Pat to laugh, but he finally did. Finding humor in a situation when we are waiting and perhaps a little bit with some anxiety is always a good idea, to try to find that moment of humor. Another thing we have to do is determine, we got to be positive about the waiting. Not positive that we know we're waiting, but be positive with a good mindset about waiting. We have to make the choice how to respond. How to respond. In other words, decide you're going to appreciate the moment that you are living in right now. Now, there's not a one of us that haven't waited to see how we did in the job interview. We haven't waited to see how we did on the test. We haven't waited to see about the diagnosis. I mean, we all have been there. This idea and experience of waiting is our common experience because we are all human. You may be intently looking ahead to where you want to go, and that's always good. But that doesn't mean you don't appreciate where you are now. I don't believe God, for once, planned on creating us with a mindset of, "Boy, I sure wish this day would get over with." Because we're not really promised the next day will come. Why would we begin to wish our life away? I find it very helpful, these words from Psalm 90, the 12th verse. Many of you know this one. "Teach us, O God, to number our days, that we may grow a heart of wisdom." You might want to write that one down. That's a very good verse to know. Psalm 90, 12. "Teach us to number our days, O God, that we may grow a heart of wisdom." It's a wonderful thing to have things to look forward to, the birth of the next grandchild perhaps, or a long-awaited trip abroad. But even when we look forward, let us not forget to appreciate where we are now, the blessings of the present. I find this verse in Psalm 39, the fifth verse, to be helpful to remember that God alone knows the days of our lives and what they hold for us. Hear this verse, the 39th Psalm, 5th verse. "You have made my days a mere handbreadth, The span of my years is nothing before you. The psalmist also describes that we are like grass. We wither. We are like the mist. We are here for a moment and gone the next. That appreciation of the abundance that we can find in now, the present moment, is such a joy to behold and to hold high in our hearts. And the times of waiting helps too to try and glean a God perspective. And you say, well, how can I glean a God perspective? Only God has God's perspective. But I think we need to just delve in just for a moment in the Spirit of God. What is the Holy Spirit trying to share with us in our times of waiting? It may not be clear to you and me at the moment, but it is crystal clear to God why something has not already happened, why it is going to happen, and when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. It's all a part of God's perfect plan. And sometimes we just shake our heads and we go, I know you're God, and I know you're smarter than I am, and I know you're mightier than I am, but help me know that it's going to work out. We've also all been there. Help me know, God, that it's going to work out. Be there with me in this time of waiting, because God is not a God who enjoys to torment. God is a God who enjoys blessing his children. God is a God who deeply desires for us to love him enough to trust him. Because quite frankly, if we knew everything that God was going to do and every moment that God was going to do it and how God was going to do it and what God was going to do, would we need God? Would we even care about God? I mean, it's already going to happen anyway. I mean, we already know it's going to be this and that way and it's going to happen. I mean, what would God's purpose be if we had that crystal ball of our life that we could peer into and go, okay, we would never have any need whatsoever to trust God. And we have to know that in order to love, one must trust. If we do not trust God, can we fully love God? If you do not trust your friend, trust your mate, can you truly love that person? Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, these words, and you know this as well. You've heard them. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than these? And who among you will add one single day to your life by worry? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Thanks be to God for that teaching of Jesus. You see, God will help us use this time of waiting and strengthen where we are weak. Are you aware of your weakness? Most likely you're more aware of your weakness than anybody else is aware of. How can it be then that in the waiting we don't become weaker? How is it that in the waiting we become stronger? Again, the answer is relying on God, learning to be dependent on God, learning to know God and love God. But you and I must use this time of waiting to gain that perspective. We just waste life, really, when we practice doubt, when we practice stubborn pride, because none of that builds your soul. And that's the only thing, my friends, that you're going to take with you. None of the worry, none of the doubt, none of the pride builds spiritual character. Builds up your soul. Again, in hindsight, I can see how the Lord has blessed my times of waiting. Good things happened. I can tell you this, though. In younger years, I put myself in absolute misery worrying about it. And probably that of every member of my family and those who knew and loved and cared for me. I was so miserable. I am a planner. I want to know what's going to happen. And when it doesn't, in the time frame I believe it should happen, used to be I'd be pretty miserable and no fun to be around at all. But now, as I've gotten older, I can tell you I'm a little more spiritually mature. As children of God, just like the little ones that we love and care for so much, that can be pretty self-centered about their needs, and we just spent 3 days with a 3.5-year-old, so I'm reminded of this. And Emmy, come now. Emmy, I need this now. Emmy, come here. Yes, we can be a little self-centered, all of us. The child in us is prone to panic, prone to be impatient. That is our nature. Only when we focus upon ourselves, it is not our nature when we focus upon God. Because you can't focus upon God and be centered on yourself. You just can't. Verse 3 of the psalm I just read a moment ago, the 43rd psalm. Send forth your light and truth, O God, that they may guide me. In other words, Lord God, help me focus on you. Shine your light on the darkness of my doubt. Shine your radiance on all of that, which is the minute detail that I'm all caught up in. Shine your radiance and penetrate through that stuff, so that I can focus on you, O God. There's another thing about being a child of God. We're pretty limited now. But we're older. We're wiser. How can you say we're limited? Because we are. And we know that. We are so limited, and our solutions to our problems, guess what, are also limited. Our patience and our waiting is also limited. So healing and help comes to us as we finally become aware that God is already working on our problems. Thanks be to God. God doesn't wait on your prayer to say, oh Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. I could use a little help. If you're thinking that way, then you're not truly believing God is with you all the time. You're not truly believing that you are on the watch of God. You're not truly believing that God is walking beside you through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're not believing that. God is already working on our problems. So to help you wait, maybe you'll pray this psalm or another psalm that helps you. Ask the Lord to give the light of the vision to see your way out. Ask the Lord to give you His truth so you can get through the valley. You remember the 23rd Psalm? Through the shadow of the valley of death. You see, that's a very important word, through. That's an active word. Doesn't say skirt me around it. It doesn't say let me leap over it. It says let us go through, you see. God's not here basically to take away your problem. God's here to help you work through the problem. That's an activity, a joint experience with you and God. And when the answer to your prayer and your predicament doesn't come in the time frame that you would like so often it hasn't come in my time frame, or even in the form of the answer I expected, it is at that point you have to be resolved, don't give up. Where would we be if God gave up on us? We have some days that God probably shakes His head and is wondering, don't know about you today. Don't know. And don't give up on yourself. And for whatever you do, don't give up on God. God's timing is perfect. I've always, always said that, and God rewards the faithful. I've always, always said that. Our challenge is to believe in God and knows that God knows what is best for you and God wants what is best for you. Believe that with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In the meantime, use this period of waiting to your advantage. If you want to trust God more, want to know God better, you know what you need to do. Get into His Word. Join a Bible study. Have intentional prayer time set aside in the morning, the evening, maybe both, maybe some throughout the day. Find a group of fellowship of Christian friends. Because if you want to know anyone better, trust anyone more, that's what you do. You want to know your friend better? You spend time with your friend. You do something with your friend. You want to know your pastor better or a member of the church better? Take them for a cup of coffee. Have a conversation with them out in the hallway. We know to do these things, but we just don't do them. And then we wonder, why is this relationship in this kind of shape? Especially our relationship with God. So I believe the Lord allows us periods of waiting, hoping that we will use these times to grow closer to Him and the challenge itself of just waiting. But even more, something important to the process is we have the opportunity to be strengthened, like I mentioned a moment ago. I suppose as I look back over my life, I could choose to look at my life as one long life of waiting. I mean, to begin my life, I was 3 weeks late. No wonder I was a 9-pound baby. I was already a month old. After 17 years of waiting, I came on the scene to my parents. And then there's the schooling, and which one of us doesn't remember we have to be in school 12 years? And we think we'll have gray hair by the time we graduate. But then if you go in a specialized field of something, then you have a little bit more. You go maybe to trade school, vocational school, college for 4 years. And then if you want to specialize further, like I did by going to seminary, that's another 4 years. Are you counting? That's 20 years of school. And if you want to be an ordained United Methodist pastor, then you have 3 more years in which you're under the supervision of the Board of Ordained Ministry and answer to the annual conference and the bishop. So I know a little bit about waiting, and I know a lot about myself of not being the most patient person in that waiting. But I suppose as far as Tony and I go, we have run the gambit of waiting. We both have been out of work at one time or another. We both have been extremely sick at one time or another. We both have lost our parents and gone through that sadness and sorrow. We both have had financial strain. We both have had a lot of fear. And we both have waited and waited for relief. We join you in that human experience. But it is because of those times of waiting that we are stronger. We are greater in spirit. The challenge of waiting does that. God strengthens you again if you allow Him to do that for you. Something else interesting in the waiting is this tremendous blessing that you're not expecting that comes at the end of the wait. As I said before, maybe totally different than what you expected. In the times when I was waiting in the schooling process, I wondered if I would ever become ordained, and I do believe I broke conference history. It took me 10 years. Part of that was prejudice in appointing a female minister back in the late 70s, early 80s. Family, friends, and colleagues helped support me through all of that. the times that we were out of work and times were really lean, we had some of the most wonderful times of our marriage, engaged in wonderful activities with friends who were kind of going through the same thing because we were all young. Supportive church members helped us through the times of sadness. And the times of heartache, God's presence lent us great solace, got us through our sorrow. For Tony and the loss of his father, the late Reverend Alan Hilliard, he would look to the North Star that his dad had taught him about and give great thanks to God for the life of having his dad as his father, looking at the constellations and identifying them because his dad had taught him about those through the many trips of camping and canoeing. It helped him heal. For me, in the loss of my grandmother who had lived next door and really, as I've shared with you before, planted that deep-rooted seed in me of ministry. Upon her death, I went out in the front yard, and I needed to be alone. And we had this massive magnolia tree with low-lying branches. And I went and sat out underneath that magnolia tree. And it was as if those low-lying branches were literally God's embrace around my heart. And I felt at peace. In the sadness of finally saying goodbye after that long, long goodbye called Alzheimer's, I mourned my mother on the front porch swing. As it swayed, I felt cradled as a baby once again. The breezes hitting my face, feeling like the Spirit of God was right there. The warmth of the sun caressing my face, giving me once again peace. The waiting, my friends, takes all forms. And God blesses us in our waiting, but you have to choose to be willing to accept that place of peace. As you wait, you can choose to be bitter or better. As you wait, you can choose to blame or be blessed. Which is it for you? Hear the psalmist close this psalm today. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed? I will place my hope in God. I will praise him, my Savior and my God. So as we wait, we would be wise to wait for the blessing because it's coming. We would be wise to allow the experience of waiting to strengthen us because we need that reservoir of strength at any given moment. And we would be wise to be better Christians rather than bitter Christians. I love this final thought as I close today from Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, the 25th verse, which says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him." May you be blessed in whatever it is that you find yourself waiting. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is "Soon and Very Soon." That's interesting, considering we're waiting. it's page 706. If there are those here today that would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we'd be delighted for that. As always, the prayer rail is open. If you have something that you're waiting about and you need some prayer, then this is a time to do that, to pray to God for that. So let us stand now and sing 706, "Soon and Very Soon." wonderful to worship with you today. It looks like we need to keep some folks in our prayers who are still traveling over this holiday weekend. I do hope that you had a blessed one. Go get a bite to eat and then come back and let's see the magic take place in this sanctuary as we prepare for the Advent season and help adorn this beautiful space of worship. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, we thank you for waiting. We thank you for that space and time where we don't know the answer, when we're waiting in trust and solitude for your action, your will. God, bless us as we go forth from these doors, that we carry with us the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.